Am I on my mark, Jeff? Okay. We have to be in a certain place, otherwise Jeff can't get us. This is Jeff Smith, by the way, who really deserves a lot of credit for recording every service. When I think of compassion, two people come immediately to mind. Jesus of Nazareth and Siddhartha Gautama. Now, that second name may not be familiar to some of you, but you may know him by his more famous name, the Buddha. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are filled with scenes of Jesus teaching and talking to people about how we should treat each other, which is the essence of compassion. And yet many people who call themselves Christians go right past those things, or they pick out things in Scripture, New Testament or Old Testament, that reinforce their prejudices. According to Matthew, when Jesus traveled to teach and preach, he saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Later, Jesus is described as reaching out to the people on the fringes of society, the poor, the sick, especially the lepers, nobody wanted to get near, and also the transgressors, the people who disobeyed the laws of Rome and the laws of the church. In one such passage, Mark writes, the Pharisees, who were sort of like the hierarchy of the church, the bishops and the cardinals of today, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Holy Pope Francis. I often think about what Jesus would do if he were alive today. You know, people have those bracelets. What would Jesus do? And I think he'd be on the front lines of marching for marriage equality, racial justice, pay equity. He'd be with the families of the victims of the South Carolina massacre. He'd be having a simple meal with a poor immigrant family from Mexico. But he would most assuredly not be having lunch with Donald Trump. Compassion is also central to Buddhism. The Dalai Lama says that compassion is a mental attitude based on a wish for others to be free of their suffering, and is associated with a sense of commitment, responsibility, and respect toward others. Siddhartha Gautama was born into a very wealthy family in India, and he had everything he always wanted. In addition to wealth and status, he had a lovely wife and a child. But in this period of time in India and beyond India, a period of time called the Axial Age, there was a lot of spiritual upheaval. Many people felt a spiritual crisis, as did Gautama himself. And the people were looking for a spiritual leader to bring them out of these spiritual crises. And Gautama became that person, the Buddha, which means the enlightened one. In Buddhism, according to the Dalai Lama, genuine compassion is based on the rationale that all human beings have an innate desire to be happy and overcome suffering just like myself, thinking of other people as you think of yourself is really a major step toward compassion. On the basis of the recognition of this equality and commonality, you develop a sense of affinity and closeness with others. Compassion literally means suffering together. It's sometimes confused with or conflated with empathy and altruism. Empathy usually means taking the other person's perspective, but not necessarily going beyond that. Compassion means taking that next step and doing something for a person who is suffering. Altruism could be connected with compassion, but not necessarily. One example that I can think of was a situation that happened a couple years ago. Two billionaires donated over $300 million to two medical schools here in Philadelphia, Jefferson and the University of Pennsylvania. And that was certainly generous and altruistic, but from my perspective, was not compassionate. A compassionate donation would have been giving that money to the public school system. But I guess it's not as sexy to have your name on a high school as it is on a medical school. The medical school at the University of Pennsylvania is now the Perelman Medical School at the University of Pennsylvania. One of the biggest proponents of compassion in the world today is Karen Armstrong, from whose book I read just a few minutes ago. And she said something that was very interesting to me. She said, religion is about behavior, not belief. We often think of religion as what I believe. Armstrong says that that's a fairly recent phenomenon, recent in terms of history, 300 or 400 years as compared to millennia when it comes to religion itself. She says, across the board, religion is about behaving differently. Instead of deciding you believe in God, you first do something. You behave in a committed way, and then you begin to understand the truths about religion. She says that only when you understand these doctrines do you and put them into place that you then believe. And first and foremost, among those practices, according to Armstrong, is compassion. Compassion, she says, is a thread that runs through all the major religions. Theoretically, of course, because we don't always see that in practice. He says, in every one of the major faiths, compassion, the ability to feel with the other, is not only a true test of religiosity, it is what brings us into the presence of what Jews, Christians, and Muslims call God or the divine. Now, even for an atheist like myself, that resonates. In compassion, the Buddha says, compassion brings us closer to nirvana because it allows ourselves to get rid of our own ego and think of the other person instead, or at least first, before we think of ourselves. And as I mentioned in the preface to the reading, that's difficult to do because of our evolution, but it's not something we should use as an excuse. In 2008, Armstrong received the TED Prize. TED, as you may know, is an acronym for a series of international conferences that have been held for the last 20, 25 years. And a lot of important stuff has been talked about at these conferences. I read recently that the Macintosh was introduced at a TED conference. And the prize she received was $100,000, which she used to set up a charter for compassion, which is a statement that calls on people throughout the world to use compassion as their core belief, their core religious belief. And she set up a website called charterforcompassion.org that I recommend you check out, and you can see some of her speeches and look at some of the other things she's talked about with regard to compassion. Compassion, she says, impels us to alleviate the suffering of our fellow creatures and to honor the sanctity of every single human being, treating everybody without exception with justice, equity, and respect. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because it's a major part of our UU principles. If you wanted to distill that into just a sentence, it would be, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or if you prefer, don't do unto others as you would not have them do unto you. That, of course, has come to be known as the Golden Rule, which incidentally was not promulgated by Jesus, as many people think, but by Confucius, who lived some five centuries before Jesus. Confucius also had disciples, and he told those disciples that they needed to practice compassion all day, every day. Monks could more easily do that because they didn't have to worry about things that we have to worry about, like paying our taxes and mowing the lawn and things like that. But as I said earlier, that doesn't give us an excuse. And what Confucius said was that if you reached an ultimate plateau of compassion by practicing it all day, every day, you'd reach what's called hren, H-R-E-N, which he referred to as the virtue of virtues. Unfortunately, like many virtues, forgiveness, for example, compassion is hard. If it was easy, more of us would do it. It's not something that we can grab onto by listening to a CD on our way to work or watching a DVD while we're on the treadmill or even listening to a sermon on Sunday. It's something that we have to pay attention to every day, although I don't know if we can do it all day every day. Armstrong says that one reason why compassion is not talked about more in major religions is that religion, in many cases, has been hijacked by extremists. We all know about Muslim extremists who are willing to kill others, including members of their own faith, who don't believe as they do. But Christians are willing to condemn people who don't feel as they do as well. And in this sort of maelstrom of hate and disagreement, it's kind of hard to live a compassionate life. One important part of compassion is that compassion isn't just for the people you like. It's not just for UUs, not just for liberals. It's for everyone, including, in some cases, people whose ideas you may despise. When I was writing that, it made me think of free speech that we prize here in the United States. And we allow free speech even when that speech is hateful, because it's such an important concept for us. So you don't have to just do it for the people you like. Wayne Dyer said it's easy to be nice to the people who smell good. Metaphorically, of course, but maybe also literally. We also have to, as a nation, espouse compassion. Nations should not do unto others as they would like not done to them? And how often do we, as a country, we the United States, violate that principle? Just in my lifetime, I can tick off a dozen or so situations. Iran, Vietnam, Cambodia, Cuba, the Philippines. How many times have we talked about our democracy, our love of freedom, and yet how many times have we propped up dictators or tried to topple people who we didn't like? So, having made the idea of compassion more difficult than we'd like, how do we start on the road to leading a compassionate life? Well, one way is to start with this book, which is called Start Where You Are by Pema Chodron, who is an American Buddhist nun. I didn't know there were Buddhist nuns until a few years ago. And for me, the title of that book has two meanings. The first is that you start with yourself. Chodron says, it is unconditional compassion for ourselves that leads naturally to unconditional compassion for others. It comes from realizing our kinship with all beings. Now, when Buddhists talk about all beings, sometimes the Dalai Lama talks about sentient beings, they mean animals as well, which is why Buddhists are typically vegetarians. However, I think it's possible to lead a compassionate life and not be a vegetarian. My wife and I try very hard to only eat meat from animals that are raised humanely. I think of a situation a number of years ago when I was researching a story I was writing on this return to raising animals in a traditional fashion before World War II, after which we started raising animals like cars, sort of pushing them out down the assembly line like so many automobiles. And I was visiting a farm in Westchester County, New York. And this farm was known for raising their animals in a traditional fashion, giving them plenty of room and not keeping them confined. And as I went through the gate of this farm, I got the feeling that I was really more in an animal spa than a farm. And the manager of the farm told me that her philosophy was their animals only had one bad day in their life, which, when I thought about it, is not something that most of us humans can say. The second meaning of start from where you are is that you don't need to do something before you start offering compassion to other people. You don't have to move to another city. You don't have to get out of a relationship. You don't have to change your job. And you don't have to get credentialed. You don't have to get a diploma in compassion or take a test in compassion that certifies that you are a compassionate human being. You can do it any way you can, whenever you can. Being compassionate could be, as I mentioned earlier, something as simple as just listening to a person. Maybe offering an example from your life that related to something that that person was going through. Women are much better at this than men are. Men have a tendency to want to solve things right away. Why don't you do this? How about that? Whereas women are more willing to listen and nod in agreement or in empathy. There's nothing terribly new in Armstrong's book about compassion, but it bears reading and rereading again because we forget. In the hubbub of everyday life, all of a sudden we're at the end of the day and we don't think we were very compassionate. As a matter of fact, we may not have been compassionate at all. But as Confucius says, you must practice it all day, every day. But I don't think we necessarily have to do it the way he wanted his disciples to do it. Living a compassionate life may seem daunting, but we don't have to get it all right every time. As a matter of fact, Armstrong says that every day you will fail in some way. Just about every day you will fail to be compassionate. You will fail to be sympathetic. You will fail to be empathetic. You will be angry. But that shouldn't stop us because, she says, if we only get a piece of that compassionate living right, the world will be a better place in which to live. And our lives will have been well worth living. And may it be so. Amen and thank you.